You know, Sunday's coming. Technically, Sunday is here, right? This is Sunday, so we're excited about Sunday. Everybody loves Sunday, except for you have to go back to work tomorrow, many of you, so, right? But anyway, today we're going to, as we're continuing on in our celebration of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, you know, Jesus defeated death, hell, and the grave, and he did it for you and me. And that's just the truth that you and I need to hold on to and make it personal in our life. See, each of us have the potential to walk in resurrection life every day. But sometimes we forget that. Sometimes we do not live up to the promise because we get stuck in our past. And when that happens, then we miss out on our future. So when we get stuck in our past, we're going to miss out on that future that God has for each and every one of us. Amen? Amen. God has good things, and we're excited about that today. So we're going to hop right in here. I haven't preached for a couple of weeks, so I might be a little rusty, so bear with me. You know, a couple of weeks ago, Pam gave a great testimony, and then last week we had the drama presentation, so maybe take me a few minutes to get back in the flow here. We'll see what happens. But in Luke chapter 24, verses 1 to 8, is a passage, and it talks about something that maybe you and I kind of fall victim to every now and then. It says, "But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men suddenly stood near them in dazzling clothing. And as the women were terrified and bowed down to the faces to the ground, and the men said to them, 'Why do you seek the living one among the dead? He is not here, but he has risen. Remember how he spoke to you while he was still in Galilee, saying that he's the Son of Man, he must be delivered in the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again.'" And it says, "And they remembered his words." Let's pray. Father, we honor you today. We thank you so much for the precious Holy Spirit that is here today, moving on each and every one of our hearts. Lord, I thank you that we're not alone in this endeavor as we take our journey through life, that as a believer, the Holy Spirit comes to reside in each and every one of us. We thank you that that same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead is just quickening our mortal bodies. Lord, thank you for that healing touch and that healing flow, spirit, soul, and body, just moving in each of our lives. Lord, I yield to the gift that you've given me. I use it for your glory. Lord, I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips and for the gift of the Spirit to be in operation today. In Jesus' name, amen. So here we see from this passage, it's something that you and I maybe fall victim to every now and then, where we try to find the living one among dead things. You know, but God has so much more for us. See, the women, they had prepared some things, some spices, and they fully intended on honoring Jesus the only way they knew how. And that was to anoint his body. Remember when Jesus was crucified and it was Passover and the Sabbath was coming and they could not do that. They didn't have time. Because custom was when somebody died, they would anoint the body with spices and things like this. And they wasn't able to do that. So Jesus had been in the grave since Friday. And here on Sunday morning, the women went there to honor him. Much as you and I would probably do. I don't know about you, but if somebody had made such an impact on your life, wouldn't you want to honor them? Wouldn't you maybe look beyond the fact they had been there for maybe a couple days laying in that tomb? And see, we need to honor the Lord with everything, you know, that we have. And they said, "Why do you seek the living one among the dead?" See, sometimes what happens is you and I, as we go through life, we get stuck on dead things. And so we have to follow Jesus. See, Jesus had moved on to the next thing, the resurrection. And the disciples were still stuck on the last thing, death. And so you and I need to get to the next thing. That's what God wants for our life, is for us to get to the next thing instead of being held in bondage and held back. See, as you go through life, we find out that life is a journey with a lot of twists and turns. And, you know, we may have a plan. Most of us have a plan. You know, I had a plan ever since high school. I knew what I wanted to do. But things do not always go according to plan. Right? Sometimes things go according to plan. That means we have to be flexible. We have to be willing on our journey to be able to make maybe a little turn here and there and make a course correction. Has anybody here ever had to do a course correction? You know, I've had to do a few. Some of them were major course corrections. I was really off, really getting out there. But see, one thing that you and I have to remember is when we come into this Christian faith, there's some principles that as we grab a hold of these things, then we can start to experience the depth and the riches of God. And some of those things are somewhat difficult because the truth is, church family, is that before resurrection, there must be a death. Before breakthrough, there needs to be a breaking. So as we go through these things of life and we understand and, you know, and as we understand the concept of what it means and what Jesus is actually telling us when we take up our cross and to follow him, you know, it really isn't that bad once we find out what's on the other side, right? Sometimes it's hard to get to the other side because what I found out is pain is worth it. Because what comes after the cross is life-changing. What comes after the cross? And the power of the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, when he died for your and my sins, and then we choose to put our faith and trust totally in him, on what he has done for us, and then we get to walk in, and that what's on the other side is released into our life. That resurrection life, that life of that we can overcome the things of this world, the things that are so easily trying to hold us back. And what we're going to do today is I want to go through three different days that you and I experience in life. We all get the Fridays, then there's the Saturdays, and then the Sunday. And so our goal as a Christian, is to try to get from Friday's pain to Sunday's power. We have to get to Sunday's power. So what is Friday? I know people look forward to Friday when it comes to work, but as we look at Friday when it comes to this idea of what it means to follow Christ, is that sometimes during our Fridays, we feel a little bit stuck. See, what happened is that the followers of Christ had experienced a devastating loss in their lives. They had witnessed what Jesus Christ went through. And we're not going to go into all that. Many of you know the story of the scourging and the fact of how they treated him and the brutality of the Romans. And then how Jesus died on the cross. And all these things. And so when you it's one thing to hear about it. But I don't know about you, but they say a picture paints 1,000 words. And a picture does make an impression on us, doesn't it? And so when they had witnessed this with their own eyes, it was a major life setback. See, they had walked away from their jobs. And they were all in on Jesus being the way. They had bought into this guy. They had followed him. They had heard him teach and preach. Everything didn't register, evidently, because the resurrection stuff, you know, went right over their head. But, you know, they were so into it also that they went around preaching the gospel and telling Jesus Christ that is the chosen one. And then they watched him die that death. And I'm sure their world just unraveled right then. Because the guy that they were following isn't here now. And they wasn't really sure. And so Jesus said, "Follow me." And that road leads to the cross. And it's a scary road sometimes, especially when you look upon the cross. And you see everything, you know, the cross is when we die to self. The Bible talks about it extinguishes, you know, our passions and desires, the things in our life that try to pull us away from God. And we live that crucified life. And, you know, if you've given everything to follow God, then all of a sudden it just, and then you see this happen in your life, you just kind of wonder what to do. And I'm sure many of them, you know, we know we're kind of shaken by this. And we know here we picked up the story where, you know, the women had waited till it was time on Sunday morning, and they grabbed the spices they'd already put together. They probably meticulously put this thing together, this stuff, and they were there, and they were, you know, not excited, but in a sense, but, you know, they just wanted to honor God so much. And they got to the cross or the tomb, and nobody was there. His body was gone. And it really, the Bible talks about that they were perplexed about the open tomb. That word perplexed means baffled, not knowing how to proceed. Has that ever happened in your life? Have you ever ran across a situation that you were baffled? And I don't know what I'm going to do next. Well, God showed up with through angels. Then they were terrified, you know, with supernatural activity. How many's prayed, God, move in my life. God, I want to see your signs and wonders. And then God does something in your life and we go, whoa. Yeah, I'm not ready for that, God. That's too far for me. You know, I'm not ready to release and, you know, go into that. I don't know about that stuff there. You know, that church that raises their hands and does all that clapping. You know, what's that all about? Well, you should have been here when we used to sing Fire in the House. Anybody remember that one? Yeah. About wore your hands out on that song. We sang that one and then another and back to back, and my clapping, I was wore out from clapping. I didn't have nothing left. You know, but so, you know, sometimes we just don't know how to respond. And so, to say the least, the women were at a loss. And you know, many times you and I, as we go through our Fridays, you know, things don't go according to our plan, the way we set out, and we suffer loss. You know, maybe that loss could be a loss of a loved one. You know, maybe you've lost a loved one in your life in many different ways, and you know, you just kind of perplexed, you're baffled, you just don't know what the next step might be, and maybe you're in a situation where maybe you lost your job. Maybe that your security was in that job and you just don't understand. You thought you'd be there forever until you want to retire, whatever the case may be. You just loved your job. And all of a sudden you lost that job and now you're baffled. You're perplexed. What do I do next? Maybe somebody in your life, maybe you lost a relationship. Maybe somebody in your life, there's a misunderstanding. And this person that you depended on so much is no longer there. And you just feel that loss. A lot of things can happen when we experience loss. See, when loss happens in life, do not let it make us feel that we are less than, because the one that lives inside of us makes us feel more than. More than. The Bible says, He's more than enough. So whatever comes our way at this time of loss, Jesus is more than. You know, whatever tries to trip us up and tries to get us to fall. And so But the Friday situation is when we get into that Friday situation, and much like the disciples here, their world had come apart, like sometimes our world comes apart. We identify with the tragedy. And when we start to identify with our tragedy, we head down a bumpy road to destruction. Because we think that we can never break free of that problem. Maybe you have been in a situation for months, maybe even years, and that thing has wore you down, it's grinded you, till you don't think you can take another step. I want to say it may be Friday, but Sunday's coming. Amen. Sunday's coming. Where we'll get to the other side and we start to get our miracle, because we don't want to get stuck there, because what happens is we end up getting in a negative mind loop. And a negative mind loop is like being on a not-so-merry-go-round of negative thoughts and emotion that paralyze us and keep us from walking in freedom. And see, we get those mind loops going on in our life and we get locked into that and we just keep going one more time around the merry-go-round. And we just get on that thing and just get on that thing. And it just seems like nothing changes. And, you know, that can happen in relationships and marriages and things like this. You know, maybe you think just when you turn the corner in your marriage and all of a sudden you get triggered by a past thought or a past experience. Then you get back on that merry-go-round again. I'm just saying, you know, we have to get off the merry-go-round. We can't allow that negative mind loop to dominate our life and to cause us to be able to flow that way, because there's hope in sight. Even though when we feel there's no hope in sight, we have to catch sight of some hope in our life. So they had heard Jesus tell them that he'd rise from the dead, but when they were tested, doubt and unbelief drowned out their faith. The Bible says in Proverbs 30, verse 5, it says, every word of God is tested. And when that word tested means it's refined like silver. See, you and I go through things, and that's a test of our faith, but that's okay. Because it's not until our faith has been tested do we find out if it's real or not. As simple as that. I know it don't sound like fun, but this is how it works. Our faith needs to be tested. And if it's real faith, it'll pass the test. If not, we go back and we reinforce it. Right, man? If you're living in an old house and the foundation goes a little bit, have you ever seen those floors that are a little uneven? We have one of those. You know, and if you turn the corner with socks on, you go down almost. I mean, is that bad, you know? Especially if back in the day when we'd have the kids help clean, they would spray the indust on this table and they'd overspray. And then when you turn that corner, kaboom, go right down. But see, what you have to do when your foundation's off, sometimes you got to prop it up. You got to reinforce it. You got to push it up here and things like that. So it's okay if you go through things on Friday. Learn from it. Let Friday be a learning experience of areas of our life that we need to fix. And that's okay. Everybody has them. But don't get stuck there. Don't stay on Friday. The problem with our culture today is that, you know, we live in an easy believism Christian culture and that will not stand the test of life. And there's people all over the airwaves telling people, hey, it's easy, do this, do that. You'll never have a problem. Yeah, right. The Bible says those who live godly will be persecuted. There's things that's going to happen in life, and that's okay. Because we can handle it, because he that's in us will bring us through. Amen? Amen? Amen. And we got to get to that spot. Now, I know by saying that we should not overcomplicate Christianity, but we also not make it so easy that people don't understand the cost of discipleship. And discipleship's different. You know, that's when we learn to be a disciple and we start to follow Jesus in all his ways. Amen? So now we've went through Friday and then now Saturday. Now, in the Bible, Saturday's not explained a lot about what was going on. I'm not going to go into everything that Jesus did that day. But you and I experience our Saturday, and Saturday is that time in our life when we feel kind of lost. You know, we all experience that long, awkward silence in life when it feels like nothing's happening. You know, maybe God has spoken into your heart, and you've engaged in a plan, and you're doing that plan, but now you get nothing. You're not hearing from Him. And you just kind of wonder. But what I found out in my life is that faith is formed in the silences of life when we keep going, not knowing what's around the corner. You just have to keep going. You just have to keep following God. In those times of silence in our life, it'd be nice to say that, you know, we just wake up every morning and the angels help us get dressed. You know what I'm saying? They hand us our shoes and our socks and just get all kind of like, Cinderella? Had them birds and everybody helping her get all fixed up and everything. You know, it's not like that all the time, is it? Sometimes you just wake up and, God, where are you? Well, He's there. But it's a time of silence in our life. And then we're learning some things through that silence. One of the things that you and I need to learn is faithfulness. Just being faithful. Because I found out in my life that where my faith starts to fail, faithfulness will take me to the other side. Just by being faithful, hanging in there. See, after their world fell apart, like I said, they were following Jesus and they thought they'd just be with Him forever. And then He died. And they were just sitting there, what do I do now? See, they were in between the last step and the next step. And that's maybe where we get on a Saturday. We knew our first step, right? But we're not over here to our last step. What's our next step? What do we do in that next step? See, that's where the power of patience comes in. See, there's power in patience if you and I want to explore that power. How many love patience? Love being patient. Waiting in line. That's why one of the reasons I moved back to Iowa. That and I felt God tell me to, but when I lived in Denver, you had to exercise patience a lot. There's lines everywhere. I'm not big on lines. You know what I'm saying? Just not my thing. And what I found is the only thing worse than not knowing what to do is to launch out and to do the wrong thing. And we made that mistake. We try to get ahead of God. All I can say is relax. You might be stuck in a Saturday. You made it through Friday. Now you kind of know where to go, but now there's this kind of a little bit of silence in your life. Because I found it is what we do when we do not know what to do that will make a difference in our outcome. We just have to stay strong and stay close to God and start walking in His ways. Many people give up on Saturday. And if you give up on Saturday, you'll never get to your Sunday. So we need to be able to press on so we can press through. Because here's our goal I want to get to is Sunday. Sunday is when you and I get our miracle. And that's what Jesus Christ paid the price for you and I. The power of the resurrection life. Now, I want to throw out just a Christian truth that you and I need to hold on to is the fact that we believe in the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's proof right there. You know, anybody could have said, well, hey, He rose from the dead spiritually, right? That would have been, you know, but you can't prove that. But see, the proof is when God rose up Jesus' body from the dead. And that's one of the strong foundational truths of the Christian faith. Amen. Now, there's a lot of New Ageism out there, isn't there? Back in the 80s and 90s, it used to be pretty blatant how you could kind of see it, but it's kind of sneaking in to Christianity in a lot of different ways. And so we need to be careful about that new, he says, you know, we live in a dangerous time when there's everybody and their brother is out on the internet spouting these things. But so we have to measure them according to the Word of God and what's so important. As a matter of fact, the idea that Jesus rose spiritually is something that even back then many people tried to believe that. Some old scholars tried to lead people astray. But see, we want to get to the place where you and I get our miracle. So what do? See, we have to break that mind loop, that Friday mind loop I was talking about. See, we need to learn how to live with a victory mindset instead of a defeat mind loop. Well, how do you do that? You have to change the way we think. Did you know that sometimes you and I can think wrong? Have you ever sized up a situation wrong? You really thought it was this, but then you find out it was that. And what happens is that you and I, we get in this defeat mind loop, and then we start to interpret information wrongly, and that takes us to the wrong conclusion, right? Like if you do math, you know, 2 + 2 = 4. But if you were homeschooled, you might think 2 + 2, I'm just teasing, equal. But if you were taught by somebody else that 2 + 2 = 5, and you go with that thinking through life, then you start to process decisions based on that information, you're going to come up with a lot of wrong answers in life, right? You're going to come up with a lot of wrong answers. So we need to change that. And what I found in my life, and it's just so powerful, is that the Word of God can give us a victory mindset. Yes. The Word of God can change the way we think and change the way we process information. It changes us in the way that, you know, like in Deuteronomy, it talks about we're the head and not the tail. We're above and not below. We're ahead and not behind. It just changes our whole way of how we fit into the scope of God's plan. When we understand that God has good things in store for us and that there's a bad devil out there. So some people blame God. They think God doesn't want them to have anything nice, that God doesn't want them to live in victory, that God doesn't want them to have a good experience in life. They think they just have to suffer. Maybe they feel they've done something bad to other people. So they deserve this. Well, see, that's what Jesus went to the cross for. He took the curse. He took every bad thing that we've done and he nailed it to that tree. And he paid for that price. Yes, we deserve bad things, but Jesus paid the price so we don't get the bad things. We get the new life. And so stop letting that negative mind loop hold you in bondage thinking that you don't fit in. Don't allow the enemy to make you feel insecure about where you fit into the God's big picture of life. So to do that, it takes a little bit of effort. Instead of rehearsing past defeats over and over in our mind, think about a new victorious outcome. Has anybody ever rehearsed those past defeats? We all have, right? We went through something, bad outcome, we're in that situation again. All of a sudden we think, well, here we go. Just going to happen again. No, we're going to have to step back. And we got to envision a new outcome. What is it that God is going to do to turn my situation around? To make a change in my life? We do not have to accept everything that the world throws at us as being from God. That's the biggest mistake, and that's wrong thinking, to think that everything that happens is God's plan, because it's not. There is a devil out there. So we have to discern the difference. Well, how do you discern the difference? There's a couple ways. Number one is you need to get into the Word of God. And you find out what the Bible says. I know it's a thick book. Believe me, the first time I picked one of these things up, I went, oh my goodness. We have to know that? You know? But I'll tell you what, little by little, day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year, keep putting the Word of God in, just a little bit each day, you know? And you keep doing that before you know it, you're going to start to change. I mean, if your heart's into it, there is a disclaimer. Just reading for the sake of reading, that's not going to help. You have to be hungry that it's the book alive. Because what happened with me is I came to a point in my life where I knew that what I was experiencing was not life, but it was really death. Even though I was doing the same thing everybody else was doing, even though I was doing all the things that the world says brings fulfillment, but I was unfulfilled. Because I knew that God, deep down inside, I knew that God had something different, had something more. And it's okay to want more of God. And so the process started of putting the Word of God in my life. And that's what we have to do. And as well as putting the Word of God in, there's the third person of the Trinity. And that's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. He lives inside each and every believer. When he comes to live inside of us, he can help us discern truth. Because, I'll just throw this out, I just ran into this situation the other day. I was talking to somebody and they said that they had a situation and on one hand, we're supposed to, you know, go out and preach the gospel to the lost, those who are far from God. But then on the other hand, the Bible says to be careful about being yoked up or with unbelievers. Well, how do you balance those two things out? How do you balance that walk out? I just said, well, you're going to have to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's the difference. Sometimes there's some people that we need to walk away from because they're toxic in our life. And that's okay. But sometimes God wants us to hang in there and to be a light and a witness to them. How do you know the difference? You just have to follow that leading of the Holy Spirit on the inside. Amen? Amen? Of how much you allow that to happen in your life. And that's why we need the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit that says if you're born of God, you'll be led by the Spirit of God. And that's so important. See, when we fight the good fight of faith, we fight from a position of victory. We have to see that we're on the victorious side. We're fighting downhill, not uphill. See, death usually is our greatest fear in life, but Jesus had defeated it, so we don't have to fear that anymore. And we have that resurrection power living inside of us. So, Sunday, getting our miracle. We need to be willing to do a new thing in order to follow God to the next thing. Stop holding on to the old things. Stop holding on to your past. Get past your past. Don't allow that to hold you in a situation. When the women went to the tomb, like I mentioned, they were still stuck on Friday. But Jesus has already did his Sunday. He rose from the dead. So I get past that old stuff to get the new thing. If we could just see a glimpse of the great things God has for us. Just a glimpse. You know, and it's just amazing all the things that God wants to do. And to do that, you know, the Bible talks about taking up our cross and following him. And so that means the cross of obedience. And we're not going to go totally into that today because that's a deeper topic in itself. But I just had a revelation the other day. You know what Jesus says? His yoke is heavy, but his burden is light. And I was just sitting there thinking, why is the yoke heavy and the burden light? I mean, it's a paradox to me a little bit. Well, as I got to thinking, I felt the Holy Spirit lead me to think about the idea, the yoke being heavy is the cost of discipleship in our life. What it means to become a disciple. It's not by works righteous, not what I'm saying. But I'll be honest, in order to be a disciple of Christ means that we have to be willing to walk away from some of the things of this world. But then it says the burden is light. The burden is light because once we walk in and we do the yoke up with Jesus, he starts to carry our burden. But until we yoke up with him, the burden is still ours. We need to lay down our burdens. We need to release those over to him and decide that we're going to follow him no matter what. We all get tested from time to time, and there's power. And the key to walking in the resurrection life is to remember the words of Jesus. And the women, they had forgotten them, but then it came back to them. Because once they remembered, they go, oh yeah. Have you ever had that, oh yeah? Glory to God. Oh yeah. I remember now. I remember. I forgot, but I remember now. I remember what he said. So, as we close, I just want to encourage us to forget the past, look past the present, and have faith for the future. Because Sunday is not just coming, but Sunday is here. And we need to grab a hold of that now faith. Now faith with God. Amen? Amen. Let's close in prayer.